Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Texas Tech University School of Music is presenting the 42nd Annual Scholarship Concert this Saturday night. It's a wonderful program that you will enjoy, and we'll have all the details in part one of a two-part series. Stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're in the office of Dr. Alan Zabriskie, who is Director of Choral Studies here at the Texas Tech University School of Music in preparation for the annual scholarship concert, which is taking place on Saturday the 28th at Broadway Church of Christ. And to find out more, we have Dr. Zabriskie with us, and we also have Lauren Salazar. And she's a very special guest today. She's going to talk to us a little bit about her ensemble. And Dr. Salazar, if I could begin with you, sure. Tell us just a little bit about you and your journey to Texas Tech.
Sure. So I earned my doctorate from UCLA in ethnomusicology, where I focused my research on mariachi music. So I come from a mariachi family. My grandfather was a mariachi, my uncles play, my cousins play. And when I learned in college about the field of ethnomusicology, I really thought I was going to be a concert pianist. But once I learned I could, you know, study mariachi as an academic pursuit, changed my whole life. And so when the job opening came up here, which included running the ensemble and expanding the program, I just knew it was the right fit. And thankfully, the sun, moon, and stars aligned, and I find myself here in Lubbock. And it's really wonderful to be here because there's so many possibilities, and the program and just the environment here is just ripe for expansion and for developing a full-fledged program.
Right. So Texas Tech does have a mariachi ensemble, mm-hmm. Los Matadores, mm-hmm. and you direct that ensemble, right?
I do. And so the ensemble is one of the ensembles of the Vernacular Music Center, and as such, one of the things that I really wanted to do is in the state of Texas itself, Texas is at the forefront of mariachi education, meaning that there's been a real push for mariachi programs, especially at the K-12 level. So now you have UIL very recently starting its mariachi competition, so which has effectively in a lot of ways put mariachi on the same playing field as band, orchestra, and choir. And so I've been very lucky. I was asked to serve as a judge for that, and I've been a judge now for the last 3 years with that program. So I've been able to see every year more and more groups from Texas at the high school level participate. And with that now you have other universities looking at expanding programs to include certificate programs, but also minors in mariachi, and even mariachi as a performance degree or a music education degree. And that's something that quite a few colleges are looking at, including our own program here. So where jazz was 50 years ago is very similar to what's happening with mariachi today.
I did not know that mariachi was now part of UIL. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. And I mean, one of the largest mariachi festivals in San Antonio, Texas, attracts close to 1,000 high school students.
Wow.
I mean, this is a real movement starting at the grassroots for more programming for Hispanic students. Wow. And it's not just Texas. It's across the entire southwestern United States.
Are your duties here at Texas Tech confined to just mariachi?
No. I'm a professor, an assistant professor in musicology, and I teach courses in ethnomusicology. So I teach core courses like fieldwork and methods, basic courses on ethnomusicology, and also courses specific to Latin America as well.
Right, right. And tell us about your participation in the scholarship concert.
Yes, so I'm very excited. It's the first time the mariachi has ever been invited to participate. So we will be providing upbeat celebratory music as people are entering. So I would highly recommend for people to show up around 6:50, and we'll be performing from around 6:50 to about 7:20.
Great.
To get everyone in the spirit.
So do you, with your ensemble, Los Matadores, do you... ethnic costumes, and it's the entire thing?
Oh, yes. We wear the traje de charro, and I was very fortunate my second year here with the previous director of the School of Music. We were able, through donors and through generous contributions from the president's office at the time and the dean's office at the time, to get actual traje de charro with the special embroidery and things, you know, specific for this program. We have the moños, the hats, you name it. So we are in full getup, so to speak. So
Wonderful.
We look good and we sound good.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear you.
Thank you.
At the concert. Wonderful. Dr. Salazar, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Ellen Zabriskie, thanks for donating us your office to me. We really appreciate that very, very much. So tell us the scholarship concert, the history of the scholarship concert is that it's involved orchestral and choral music. Mm-hmm. And that's the case again this time. Tell us what the university choirs will be doing.
The university choirs will be joining together as they usually do. All four of our during the day choirs that we have, the university choir, the Matador singers, the women's chorale, and the university singers, will all join together in a combined force with the University Symphony Orchestra to perform the Mozart Requiem on the second half of the scholarship concert this year.
Right. When anybody says Mozart Requiem, I guess people who have done it, the first thing they would say is, whose version are you going to do?
Yes, we are doing the Zeusmeier
version. Right, right. How many, let's see, you said all the choirs. Mm-hmm. Soloists, who will they be?
Soloists are the faculty at Texas Tech University. So our soprano soloist is Rebecca Hayes. Mm-hmm. The alto soloist, we're very excited to introduce, is the new mezzo-soprano voice faculty who will be coming and joining us next fall. She was just recently announced, her hiring was recently announced last week. Her name's Alice Ann Light. She's been faculty at William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri, and we're excited to have her next year. But as a preview to her and to her great abilities and just beautiful personality, she'll be here to perform the Mozart Requiem with us. Tenor soloist is our own Carl Dent, our own Grammy Award-winning Carl Dent, and then the baritone bass soloist is Greg Brooks.
Excellent. Great. And you'll be conducting?
I'll be conducting. I'm very excited to make my debut with the University Symphony Orchestra and then the combined forces with the choir.
Right. How many times have you done Mozart Requiem?
I have sung it several times. I have prepared it a few times. This will be my first time conducting the entire piece, which is the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you come to realize as standing in front of the orchestra and putting the piece all together and hearing all of it?
Sure.
What kind of learning experience has that been for you?
Well, I think the one exciting thing I've learned is the great opportunity it was to rehearse with the University Symphony Orchestra. Just not only a talented group of students, but also very giving, and they seemed just as excited as I was to play the piece as I was to conduct it when we had our first rehearsal, and I'm looking forward to more rehearsals moving forward. I think that, you referenced that Mozart didn't write the entire Requiem. Zeusmeier finished it, and in fact, finished most of it. Mozart wrote the first movement, and then Zeusmeier essentially copied Mozart for the last movement, and filled out orchestration in some sections and actually composed other things, other movements. And so the interesting thing I have, especially in my study of the orchestral score, even in more depth than I had before, was to notice the great difference in orchestration and contrapuntal writing and simplicity as you compare what was happening with how Mozart wrote it and then the movements that Zeusmeier wrote. Another demonstration for me anyway of just the brilliance of Mozart. Right. Zeusmeier was one of his students and claims to have taken some ideas and fragments that they discussed in his lessons and singing through and talking through the composition as a whole before Mozart died. But it is very clear what Zusmore wrote and what Mozart wrote.
Yeah, great, excellent. How did you decide that you wanted to do Mozart Requiem this spring? Why Mozart Requiem rather than something else?
Sure. Well, this has been a long discussion between Dr. Mann and I, the director of the University Symphony Orchestra, about what we were going to do for this scholarship concert. It was our first concert together. This is both of our first years, and so we wanted to make scholarship concert something really meaningful, both for both of us as kind of our debut in the scholarship concert. We also, this is kind of a new iteration of the scholarship concert. The Friends of Music is serving as hosts and kind of sponsoring the event. We have an official sponsor, Citibank, who is underwriting the cost of the entire concert, both with venue and advertising and all of those things. And so we wanted to make sure that we selected pieces that would draw a good audience, because people know or are aware of these pieces, but also are exciting to listen to. So the Mozart Requiem coupled with the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto, which will be on the first half, I think are two composers who are very well known. Everybody's excited to listen to both. And then two pieces, arguably their most recognizable pieces as well.
Right.
And so to really just begin our opportunity to conduct the scholarship concert in a way that draws the most people in and makes people really excited.
Right. And the concert will be at Broadway Church of Christ. Does that present any interesting in terms of physical layout? Is it going to work okay to sing in that venue?
I think it'll actually work really well. Of all the churches, Dr. Mann and I actually, being new to town, we toured several churches. And that church, of all the churches in town, seems most like a concert hall, both in the seating and in the acoustics and in the arrangement of the orchestra. I know Lubbock Symphony Orchestra also uses that from time to time, especially for their Christmas concert. And so it's going to lend itself, I think, very well for the orchestra to be in typical array, and then the choir to be behind them, kind of showcased up on the platform, along with solos. We're going to put the solos up on the platform as well, as opposed to in front, so that they're visible and audible. And it's going to be pretty exciting. Very excited to do it there at the Church of Christ. And the facilities people have been very accommodating there. We've been very grateful for that collaboration.
Excellent. Sounds very exciting. This is the scholarship concert that is coming up on April the 28th, Saturday evening, at Broadway Church of Christ here in Lubbock. Dr. Alan Zabriskie, Dr. Lauren Salazar, both of you, thank you very, very much for giving up your time today to talk to us on the front row.
Thank you.
Today's episode of our program will be up on our website, kttz.org, later today. Part 2 of this series will air on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.